Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We're joined by Cynthia Hostwinder and Janet Manco. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to have you guys along with us on St. Patrick's Day in Perm and all these other days that are on today.
That's right. Yeah, we should have Patrick Sullivan on here, our own St. Patrick.
That's right. But.
But you don't.
But he's fishing.
That's right. He's out fishing. What better thing to do on St. Patrick's Day when you're named Patrick and you can go fishing?
So
exactly.
And speaking about fishing, we'll go right to the front page of the Lakeville Journal this week. A story by Deb Alexinas. Long push for wild and scenic status resurfaces with congressional clout and a beautiful picture of the Hoosatonic River.
And in fact, that is what Patrick is doing today. He's down in Farmington taking photos of the Farmington River. Deb Alexinas has done two stories on what we think is a really important issue, which is our beautiful Housatonic River, which has, I think, like you probably remember, but a lot of people don't realize how clean and pristine it is now compared to what it was several decades ago when, you know, people were still leaving refrigerators and school buses and stuff on the side of the river and polluting it. And the massive cleanup from the GEPCBs, people are really taking good care of the river. But many members of the Housatonic River Commission concerned that they're aging and that there's not a lot of young energy coming into the commission to help protect our beautiful river. And looking to the federal government, which at first made everybody in the area nervous that somehow it was going to be taken over and forgotten and turned into something we don't like, I think the Housatonic River Commission members are doing a very good job of convincing everybody here this is the best thing for our river. Deb has done a deep dive on where the process is, the multi-year process. It looks like we're coming pretty close. And her story for next week will be about the Farmington River and how well wild and scenic status has done down there.
You know, Connecticut and rivers, I remember not only was the Housatonic River a mess, but if anybody lived in Connecticut back in those days, the Naugatuck River, because it was industrial complexes that were Naugahyde was made, of course, in Naugatuck. The Naugatuck River was black from this, and it took many, many years, and that river is now a pristine, clean river. So I think Connecticut's done a pretty good job with its rivers, and I think most of the good job was pushed by local people.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great sign of hope for all of us at a really difficult time that there is an end and that things can be fixed.
Yep, absolutely. What's right under that is a great story because this happens every year. Bantam wins by a nose, or make that a hose, the volunteer firefighters. Once again, the firefighter ski race at Mohawk took place on March 13th.
A super fun event, and you have teams of five with a fire hose between them, and they ski downhill. And, of course, here in New England, a lot of our firefighters are very good skiers, too. Usually there are many, many more teams. This year there wasn't even the Cornwall team, but it was Bantam and Morris. And as Lance Christensen said, there's no losers in this race. Everybody is a winner, and especially when you have these volunteers who spend their days trying to save lives and save houses, making it down the hill with a hose is a very low-stakes game.
So we're very lucky here we can have a race like that, and then we have the human dog sled race before that,
which goes to
Salisbury Winter Sports Association. Another story by Patrick Sullivan. Once again, this is a story that explains why North Canaan's assessment is so high, but this is a story that every once in a while can apply to just about any town in the region.
I ran into First Electman Charlie Parati from North Canaan yesterday, and he's really feeling the pain of this additional, I think it's $475,000, that they're being charged as part of the Region 1 budget. And it's hard for towns to plan ahead for this because they're not just being charged for the number of students at the high school. They're being charged for their percentage of the overall regional budget. So all of our six towns share the regional budget. It pays for the high school. It pays for pupil services, which is special ed, essentially. And it pays for the superintendent's office, which helps to run all six schools and make sure that the buildings are in good shape, that the curriculums are aligned. So it's a big, big hit for a town that is not super affluent and can't easily absorb it the way that some other towns might be able to. So really feeling the pain there. And they had just had, a $400,000 extra hit a few years ago because, of course, North Canaan, one of the three biggest schools in our six-town region, along with Salisbury and Kent.
I think, you know, what Salisbury does, and I could be wrong about this, but back when I used to go to the Board of Education meetings, I think they put away a little money each year. So when, like this year, they were hit with, I think it's a couple $100,000, and they have money to put towards it. Not to cover the whole thing, but they have money to try to ease what goes on. So, and
Salisbury has the luxury of doing that. It's one of the lowest mill rate towns, and it has the good fortune, especially in this crazy real estate market, of having a lot of very affluent people who are here with large properties that are taxed very high, but who really don't use the services. So Salisbury has that ability to have a little bit of cushion there that a town like North Canaan doesn't have as much.
And this happened to Falls Village, what, 5 years ago, where once again their assessment went up 1 year because their attendance at the high school went from like 6 to like 20 or something like that. And of course, they got whacked big time. So this is something that can crop up on just about any town. But North Canaan now, it's 2 years in a row where they've been walloped. Then you've got a story, the good, bad, and hopeful about invasive insects.
If you're like me and you don't like to hike because there are bugs out there, then it's good to remember, this is a very Forest from the Tree story by Leela Hawken. There are a lot of great insects out there, and I tend to focus on the ones that make me itchy, or we tend to focus on ones that are destroying so many of our trees, which is a bona fide tragedy here in the northwest corner. But as Leela points out, she attended a talk on Zoom from Cornwall. Several organizations got together just to remind us, many of the insects out there in the woods do incredible work and help keep our region so beautiful by spreading flowers around and pollen, et cetera.
All right, you open up the paper, and there is a huge ad, a full-page ad, paid for by the Committee in Support of Rural Reproductive Rights, taking on Nuvance.
I'm going to let Janet talk about that.
That's right. It's the heading is Ways to Keep Sharon Hospital Whole, and this is from National Rural Healthcare Initiatives. And boy, they really lay it out as far as looking at other states where rural hospital initiatives have been used to save hospitals, and they're really good suggestions in here. So by all means, give this a read, and they make suggestions as to what to do if you think that action needs to be taken. Contact all your elected officials, town, state, federal, and rip out the page is what they say to suggest these ideas to them. So do give it a careful read. This is one of the most important issues facing our region right now.
All right. On the page before that, though, a couple of nice stories about joining Rotary for a cleanup day, and also Sharon Center School students raised funds for pets.
Super cute story. And so Lily Rand Barnett sent this in, and it's about the students at Sharon Center School. As so many people in America were very sad when Betty White died, the wonderful actress. And they decided to continue her good work of protecting pets, and so they did a fundraiser for the Little Guild in Cornwall. And, of course, Little Guild also has two of their big fundraising events coming up shortly. I can't remember what the date is, but the Great Country Mutt Show and their big dinner.
All right. We flip over, and you've got a couple of different stories on your sports page, Housatonic loses in the quarterfinal, and also the winter season was wrapped up.
This is where you can really see the impact of Patrick Sullivan, who's really stepped up and is doing so much to make the paper livelier and to bring more depth to it. And Patrick likes sports in a way that I wouldn't say that I necessarily do. And he's really made an effort to make sure that we're on top of what's happening at the high school, where there is a lot of great activity, especially, you know, we have the girls' basketball team, which did phenomenally well this season. So Hunter Lyle working with Patrick on a story about their move toward the States. And then Ann McNeil back with her wrap-ups of the regional sports and the high school sports. And part of the untold story here in Ann's article is how hard the teams and Ann, who organizes everything, had to work to find practice space at a time when many of the private schools, which are usually so generous with their facilities, had to really close off their campuses because of COVID.
All right. I want to go on to the story about the North Canaan selectmen consider the river access site, which seems so well set and then was up in the air. And you've got a story on that.
Yes, it's super complicated. There's a whole whole complicated thing with the property ownership and the use of the property. But this is important to all of us because, as you'll see in Deb's story on Wild and Scenic also, the Housatonic River is a huge attractor to people from out of town, and people often swim in areas that they should not be swimming in. And it's, first of all, it's quite dangerous. And second of all, it creates stress on the natural landscape there. So you often see people sort of creating paths, dirt paths through the foliage. And it's never good to have a lot of dirt sliding into a river area. But also people leave a lot of trash there. They're barbecuing in the water. There's no bathrooms out there. And, you know, we've had, as you know, a lot of drownings in the river. It's not something to take lightly. So the town of North Canaan is trying to set up an access point at what used to be the Masonic Lodge over there as you're entering toward the center of downtown, and trying to figure out how they can do it. There was a delay, as you said. It looks like they're back to discussing the way that they can do it. Housatonic Valley Association is now trying to work with them to help police and maintain the area.
And on that same page, a tale of two different budgets. The town budget in Salisbury shows a 4.2% increase, and the Sharontown budget shows a 2.04% increase.
Right, and of course, a super different story in the sense that Salisbury, again, you know, 4.2%, they'll probably bring it down, but that's, I would say most of our towns tend to start off around 4, and then they try to bring it down a little bit. But again, if Salisbury had to, they could absorb that amount. But in Sharon, the first proposal was a 2.4% increase, but you'll see in our article next week, the selectmen came down very hard in both the municipal budget and the education budget and said, you got to cut it back. People are not going to be able to take this with inflation going on and with everything that's happening in the world. So they're actually saying, we want to see negative increases if we can. So very hard cuts for all of our town committees and commissions, and we'll see what happens.
And Falls Village is the place to be today and this weekend. You've got today, they've got the parade outside celebrating a bunch of holidays at the D.M. Hunt Library. Lasagna night for the Lee H. Kellogg School is tomorrow. And then, of course, today, tomorrow, and Saturday at the high school, you have the play. I mean,
lasagna is a big, big deal at the Lee Kellogg School. They do it at the Emergency Management Center here.
It's takeout, by the way. It's pickup and takeout only.
It's takeout, but yeah. You know, when you drive by there, when they're doing that, the line is way, way down the road of cars waiting to get their lasagna. And you know, as anybody knows who tries to make lasagna, it's so much better when somebody else makes it. But there's information on how to make your order, and then of course, Housatonic Musical Theater is back with one of the most popular plays, it seems to me, in the last half of the 20th century is Into the Woods. People just love this play, and they always do a nice job at Housatonic, and tickets still available.
All right. Moving on to another page, there's a couple of stories, first of all, about a Salisbury World War II vet featured in a 10th Mountain documentary.
We love Nick Nickerson, one of the most wonderful people in Salisbury. If you're a journalist, he was an AP reporter, yep. And then he was a journalism professor, and has always been very generous with us about sharing sort of upbeat compliments and critiques when needed, and just a lovely guy. He was in the Housatonics. He was in the Gilbert and Sullivan shows, lively and fun and delightful. And he was a skier in the 10th Mountain Division in World War II, and it's incredible that we still have World War II vets around. We have to celebrate them. And I think it's possible that Ron Solon from Salisbury was also in the 10th Mountain or in another one of these ski divisions, but did so much to protect our country and was in a, I think Nick was involved in a really famous battle on skis, and we'll have to watch the documentary to get the exact details on it. I think we had an article on it about 5 years ago. A lovely, wonderful guy.
All right. We're going to switch things over right now and go to the opinion page. Janet, let's appreciate America's open government laws.
That's right. This is Sunshine Week. We know how to celebrate in journalism, and everybody should celebrate Sunshine Week because it celebrates the open government we have and the laws that make it so. So of all years, this is a year for us to appreciate that, looking at what's happening in Europe with Russia invading Ukraine and Russians not getting good information on what their leadership is doing. This isn't to say that we never have these issues in the USA, but not quite the same as that. And we have tools to ferret out the truth. So, you know, give it a read and think about what you would like to know that your government is doing on your behalf. And know the law, and we have tips in this editorial on how to use the Freedom of Information laws, federal and in Connecticut, where we have very strong laws, even though they've been a bit whittled at since 1975, when our Connecticut Freedom of Information Act passed unanimously.
It's an important thing for people to be aware of, and as the old saying goes, in a dark in a dark room, you open up light and open the windows and you let fresh air in. And that's the way it is with government and with people. I mean, and that's what makes local media so important, because without the local media, I think people would be lapsed into a false sense of security. So
that's right. Sunshine is the best disinfectant.
Absolutely. Well, some interesting letters. Some dealing with planning and zoning. Robin Leach has a letter about the hospital, and then you've got a letter about Lime Rock Park, and also Michael Clemens has a letter in.
That's right. Theo Rudd O'Neill is talking about Lime Rock Park's changes and how they are accommodating handicapped visitors, and that the changes they're making that make it much more welcoming to a wider range of people. So do give that a read. Robin Leach and Judy Gott both talking about Sharon Hospital and its critical need here and what should be done. Judy was, of course, a nurse at the hospital for years and has really interesting stories on how the hospital saved her life. And Michael Clemens talking about how Salisbury citizens responded to the plan of conservation and development online, the survey, and boy, they did get a good response. Give that a read and go online and look at it. And, you know, it's really important for the towns. We have a couple of more letters on the Viewpoint page from John Walters on Common Sense Politics and Kathy Harold Marlowe on Ukraine.
And of course, in your digital edition, you have a great story about the fundraiser that was held last weekend in Millerton, even in the snow, and then about how they're doing another fundraiser at Troutbeck this Sunday. That's in the digital edition, though, that you have up this week in the Lakeville Journal.
Right, and that's also, of course, we have a follow-up to that in the Millerton News this week, so do give that a read as well. Millerton has lots.
I was looking at turning back the pages and saw a name that I haven't thought about in a long time, and that's David Parker.
I know.
He was a great guy.
He was a great guy. He was great to work with. I actually did work with him and learned so much from him. He was just a wonderful guy. And, right, to see, he served as Canaan editor, and he was succeeded, became Lakeville Journal managing editor and was succeeded by Catherine Bickford, who is now Catherine Bell.
All right, the article by Extremist Fringes Damaging Both Parties.
This is Dick Ollis talking about what our politics are doing to our country and our sense of identity. And so, do give this a read. It's fascinating. He always pulls out really interesting historic examples. And, when things should change, we will see how much hope we have for that.
All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left, and actually, it's a good thing we have that much time left, Cynthia, because actually, there's a lot that's encompassed this week.
I'm telling you, week after week, there's more and more stuff going on. So when you go to Cornwall, you meet the most interesting people, and of course, there is Frank Way, fascinating person who has a marketing background with some very big companies in New York City, and we're happy to have him up here now. And he had Frank.Food Company in Kent, which was a very popular eatery very quickly. And Frank's specialty is branding, and he did a beautiful job of branding, but also produced great unexpected food. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and had to let his staff go and was only doing takeout meals, but was doing really well with that, too. And finally had to shut that down. But the former Pink House in Cornwall, West Cornwall, which is now Cream and had been owned by Libby Mitchell and Jim Herity, has now been bought by a development group. And they've invited Frank to come in and open up a restaurant in the Carriage House. And they're also going to be, I think they're opening another restaurant or something in the main building, but the Carriage House is the first thing that's going to open. We're hoping it's in May. Frank is doing these beautiful renovations, so we're very excited about it. And he's going to have pizza by Joel Weiland from Swift in Kent. And he did a Zoom talk with another interesting Cornwallian whose name is Francis Boswell, who's a food stylist. And the two of them have this very pure, clean aesthetic, and which applies really especially nicely to food. And they had a talk on Zoom Frank was actually in the restaurant space. Frances was at home in her apartment in New York where she was making sheet cakes. And part of the conversation was about keeping things simple, keeping food simple to make it the most beautiful it can be, and how there doesn't have to be a lot layered on it. And you can see from some of the examples of her photos, these beautiful asparagus and some a kimchi noodle soup on the next page. But a really interesting talk, not only about beautiful food, but also about Frank's plans for the restaurant. Then we've got Melinda Rodriguez, who is a finalist in season 17 of The Voice, and she's doing a free jazz concert as part of Litchfield Jazz Fest. And, there's so many things we're going to not miss about COVID, but the one thing we're going to miss is the availability of so much cultural activity for free that you can watch from your living room. And a nice homage to Ella Fitzgerald and Nancy Wilson on March 25th. And then Close Encounters with Music, continuing to do all sorts of interesting things. And they've got a mix of in-person and virtual tickets for a performance of Chopin and Brahms by a Van Cliburn pianist. Then we have, I thought this is so interesting, the Goshen Players are doing a stage version of the children's story, A Wrinkle in Time, which is just one of these stories that transcends the decades. Everybody loves the story. It's been done in two different movies by Disney. One starred Oprah Winfrey. I think everybody still reads it in school. And it was written by somebody who lived up here in Goshen, Connecticut, Madeline Langle. And I didn't realize this, but she and her husband, when they moved up here from New York City, had purchased, I guess, an ailing general store in town. And we have this wonderful photo from her website of Madeline Langle running the cash register at the Goshen store. But so the Goshen Players are opening up auditions now for the show version of A Wrinkle in Time. And then we also have Sharon Playhouse is doing auditions, and the Great Barrington Public Theater is doing auditions. And we just got an email from the Sherman Players, and they're doing auditions. So what this, of course, says to us is that there will be a live theater season in the summer unless another wave of COVID comes through, but we'll all keep our fingers crossed.
And in Williamstown, they have scheduled 3 shows for the coming year. So they're back also with productions. And so they're all getting back slowly into productions, and that goes basically from Massachusetts into Connecticut and into New York. You know, the story that you've done on beautiful food, it's mm-hmm. so great. You should do more stories like that, because more and more people, and I don't know if you're aware of this, if you go to some of these apps like TikTok and stuff like that, mm-hmm. what people do to food is and call it a recipe is absolutely horrible. It's absolutely horrible. They cover it up with all sorts of garbage, and I sit there and I'm amazed. And then I read a story like this, and I see the pictures, and I see how the food stands up, and not all these gimmicky things. Unfortunately, and I love Guy Fieri, but he's created a whole horde of people that think you have to really gussy up food, and you don't.
Francis Boswell said, "The first conversation I have with my clients is, every photo does not have to have a cheese pull."
That's right. That's so true. And that, just look at TikTok and you'll know what that means.
I think I'll avoid that now that you describe it.
It's pretty amazing. Well, so that is this week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, we'll mention in the Millerton News about the story that you have about the fundraiser that was done for the Ukraine. And I want to plug once again the fact that I think you have to register before Friday, but they're having a continuation of that at Troutbeck on Sunday. And these people have raised a lot of money already. I mean, it's amazing the amount of money they've raised.
Yeah, and they certainly have found support here, which is fantastic. They've raised $45,000. And so, with the event ongoing, the art auction online, and they also will have the event at Troutbeck and hopefully better weather. What did you say about that?
Yeah, it's going to be nice weather, unlike last week.
Yes, what a challenge, but they persevered. And, we're intrepid around here. We don't mind the snow. Look at the ski jump weekend. We like the snow.
The only problem that happened with them with the weather was the wind picked up with the snow and everything.
Oh,
it looked and felt far worse than it was. But
yes. Well, really, I don't know. But anyway, still, they were intrepid.
They were intrepid, and they're going to raise money again this weekend. All right. The Lakeville Journal is available. TriCornerNews.com is the site. You can get a digital subscription. You can also get home delivery, and you can pick it up at newsstands throughout the region. And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Have a good week.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And as I said, they are available online at tricornernews.com.